It's not often you have a four-day vacation. Not being here on Friday, and then, of course, I'm not here anyway, Saturday and Sunday. And then Monday was July 4th, so we weren't here. So back in the saddle on Tuesday, and I walk in, and I see my good friend Buzz was behind the board. Oh, and then Mark Smith is here.
Yes, yes. Happy July the 5th, Tom. Happy American Independence Day.
And a happy, what did you do for the big day? Did you go see fireworks?
No. We just kind of caught up cleaning up the clutter around our home, and I did some bike riding. And,
well, then you needed more than 4 days, because I've seen your home.
That is true. A lot like yours.
Secret.
What is it about the two of us that we have a cluttered home? Huh?
Oh, no. I know I have a good pastor's friend whose wife is a clutterer, and I often thought if I ever married her, we'd need six houses for the clutter.
You still have all those fish tanks sitting around your house?
No, they're in the backyard.
They're in the backyard.
Yeah, there's 60 of them, folks, and we sell them for $5 to $10. Each. So if you'd like to come, thank you for the announcement.
Remember that idea of yours raising fish as if you had time for that.
Oh, it worked. I had 60 tanks going with the help of my good treasurer, Al Anderson, and this is Law and Gospel, and we're supposed to be talking about wise men today on this Tuesday, July the 5th, but I decided...
there weren't too many wise men around, right?
Well, I'll tell you this. This is going to be more better timing. We're not going to talk about wise men the first half hour. I'm now batting 100%. I said from the beginning that O.J. was not going to be found guilty.
Yes, I remember that, yes.
Yes, and everybody was giving me a hard time. I did believe that Blago was going to be found.
Oh, he got it. Yeah.
So the first time I was surprised he wasn't, but the second time... And I have been saying for days that Casey Anthony was going to be found not guilty.
And so you feel...
Justified.
Justified. Oh, you feel justified.
Well,
over that.
Well, in the fact that if I was on the jury, there was no way you could have said guilty. The prosecution simply didn't give a proper motive, and there was no way of how she died. And all kinds of things like that. A lot of lies.
How do you explain those lies?
Oh, are you kidding? I mean, would you like to have a tape recorder following you around all your life? There is going to be a tape recorder, by the way, on Judgment
you mean
Day.
The book of life, right?
Yeah, the book of life. And are you kidding? I have
recording
seen...
angels. Did you know there are recording angels?
No. I just hope they're not using MP3s, because you can put a lot of stuff on one of them. But I mean, how many times have you seen somebody who had a great loss of a loved one, and a week later they're
dancing at a party?
Yeah, or something like that. Mm-hmm. And we don't say, I mean, there was so much circumstantial there. Now, why would I be bringing this up on Law and Gospel? There is a point.
Because you are always right. Isn't that right?
No, I was...
You are always right.
Well, once I thought I was wrong, but I wasn't. So, No. What I love watching now?
Wrestling.
No. Well, that's what about it. All the talking heads who said guilty for sure.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I'm not kidding. On both sides of the spectrum, whether they're conservative, they're liberals. And it is just amazing. They want to know why the jury did what they did. You know, once you set your mind that somebody is guilty, and you're not on the jury, and you're not seeing all the evidence and such, boy, her mom and dad walked out. Right after the verdict.
Yes.
And they're making a big thing about that.
I wonder what that said.
Well, I didn't want... I'd probably walk... I want a private time. I don't want... Yeah. In fact, she had to fight cameras to get in.
Right. Uh-huh.
Yeah. No. I mean, it's a very simple explanation here. And these people who are saying now there's no justice for Kaylee, who's dead. Well, how about... Justice for Casey, who was on trial. Kaylee wasn't on trial. Justice means you make a decision on the basis of the available evidence. And just like the O.J. Simpson case, this one also, they just over-evidenced it to such a level that they had to use their imagination in order to come to the final conclusion. There just wasn't the evidence that the prosecution needed to prove the point they were trying to make. They, as one guy said, they overcharged the case. You know, how can you say this is first-degree murder, which means premeditated? I was listening to one really expert forensic. I don't know why they didn't have him on. You know, the duct tape over the mouth?
Yes.
Of the skull? That can happen when you wrap somebody in plastic and put duct tape over it, and then as it disintegrates, it can fall down over the mouth, which means it wasn't on the mouth at all. It was over the packaging. And they already proved that that's how they buried their dogs, with duct tape around. I mean, there were just so many. In fact, I was surprised it took them 11 hours to say not guilty. But they said the first day. Now, why am I bringing this all up?
I don't know, because I think there's a lot of people out there that are going to disagree with you.
Oh, I know there are. I know there are, because, you see, the prosecution was expert at getting people to hate her. Yeah. I mean, nobody likes this woman, because she was getting that tattoo.
I mean, she was not even accused of, she was not even convicted of abuse.
No, there was no evidence.
And yet she was out dancing.
No, is that abuse of a baby?
Well, it just doesn't show. It doesn't show what most of us would consider proper mother, maternal care.
How long ago was his death?
What, about 3 years?
Yes. You don't think after?
But within just a short time.
Well, a whole month. No. I that's why I made the point I did. I have seen our own members. You know, you'll see them in circumstances, and you never would. I have seen people laughing at funerals.
Well, she was not laughing at a funeral.
No, but I'm saying
she was dancing.
And so that says
at a nightclub.
So what? So what? Maybe that's not the way you would do it. Or, you know, if you really know your baby is dead, first of all, you're not going to be thinking right. I have seen people really close to me kind of lose it for a bit, and do really strange things or say strange things. And you've had members, I'm sure, also in those circumstances when so much pressure comes on. And all that shows is there's just a lot of pressure on her. I mean, they're lucky I wasn't on the jury. But why are we bringing this up? We have to do a long gospel thing on it.
Okay, Tom. And now you can't think what you're going to say.
No, I know exactly. I'm just trying to phrase it in such a way. Who is as guilty as she is from God's point of view?
Well, let me tell you, if Paul considered himself chief of sinners,
yep,
then I am to the superlative.
Yes, exactly. The point is, every one of us falls short of the glory of God. Now, I'm not saying whether she did it or didn't do it. Mm-hmm. Like, they're making a big deal now that just because you say not guilty doesn't mean innocent. You know, I don't know where this came from. You know, but in my book, if you're not guilty, then you're innocent of the charges. You're not going to pay. That's what innocent means. You're not going to have to pay. In fact, innocent is the same word that we use for
justified.
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness
means,
yes,
that...
It means that our Christ's righteousness covers our own sinfulness.
That's the robe of righteousness. That's the act of obedience. But the passive obedience of forgiveness means you're not going to be held accountable for your sin.
Exactly.
Okay. What happened to her today is going to happen to every one of us on the day of judgment. Let's assume she's totally guilty. In fact, it's even going to be worse in our situation, because not only are we totally guilty, God has all the evidence he needs.
Absolutely.
And we're still going to go free.
I know.
We're still going to go free.
Chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me.
Exactly. Now, I know I'm moving into the spiritual realm, but in the spiritual realm, there's, first of all, no degrees of sin. As Jesus showed in the Sermon on the Mount, the thought is as bad as the act, because they both get the same punishment. And so I'm just listening to all these talking heads, and some of them I respect, but I really thought they went way overboard when they were talking about her. Well, everybody knows she's guilty. There's no doubt she's guilty. And when I hear talking heads do that, I know something's going to come that's going to surprise them. Because they are so wrong when it comes to theology that these people aren't trained in legal stuff either. In fact, there were some legal scholars that I listened to that didn't think that she was going to be found guilty. But they were rare, simply because if the people worked on their emotions, she was guilty. If they worked on the evidence, she was not guilty. And it was just like, I remember when O.J. Simpson was declared not guilty. I was at Bethesda Hospital visiting Dr. Klotz, who was one of my professors who had had surgery. And I was waiting to see him. They were working with him, so I had to wait in the waiting room. And it was at that point that the O.J. Simpson trial was coming on. And it was just amazing, the reaction on the people when it was not guilty. They were all very, very happy because it was in a black neighborhood. And these folks obviously didn't think he was guilty. Whether he was guilty or not is really beside the point. If you're going to overcharge, then you have to prove it. And it's just amazing to me how 12 jurors can think so clearly. Okay, where's the evidence? Where's the motive? How did she die? They don't even know how she died. And to bring first-degree murder charges because she was at a nightclub or something like that. You see, if the world is on this basis, God could send every one of us to hell on the little evidence. Yes. And he doesn't. And it's kind of interesting today that the Sunday school lesson we'll get into probably after the break is on the wise men. But remember how unwise they were? Where did they go to look for Jesus?
They went to Jerusalem because that was the place you'd expect the king of the Jews to come.
That's where you would expect, at Herod's palace. Yeah. And they were somewhat surprised when Herod didn't know anything about it. And had the angel not come to them and warned them, then we'll get more into that in a bit here. But it's kind of interesting. I'm trying to analyze why people are feeling so bad about this, and the only answer I can find is there was a refrain that I think O'Reilly started, and then everybody picked it up, namely that. We had to get justice for Kaylee. And so they think now no justice is found for Kaylee because they were so sure she was guilty. Because they don't think they would act in circumstances like that. But I'll tell you, look at the disciples. 3 years walking around with Jesus. You would think they would learn something. All he does is get arrested. And they all flee. I mean, I don't think I would do that. I mean, if...
You don't think you would have flown?
If I was out eating with you at Country Buffet, and the police came and arrest you on an outstanding warrant for not paying your parking tickets, I wouldn't flee from you.
You're sounding an awful lot like Peter.
Exactly. And you're going to say... When you hear the pigeon three times,
it's the
rooster.
Rooster.
Yeah, but there's no roosters around Country Buffet, so you got to use pigeons.
So you wouldn't have flown. You wouldn't have. What do you say? What's the past tense for flee? You would not have run away.
No, it's called fled.
Fled.
I would not have flown. You got your mind
Let's
on the...
Let's get back to the wise men, huh?
You got your mind on the rooster.
Yes.
So now I know what you think of me. what I'm kind of enjoying here is it really shows that the best wisdom on talking heads is really unwise. They have no idea. I mean, there was nobody I was listening to prior to the verdict that said she would be not guilty. Some thought, you know, there were three levels of guilt, first degree and then manslaughter or another one. And most said probably not first degree, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But certainly one of the other two.
Right.
you know.
Right.
And I'm sitting there saying, on what evidence? You know, it's kind of interesting how the church is so different than a courtroom. In a courtroom, she was really wise not to testify, because she could have been all right with her defense, but then when the prosecution comes in, he would dredge up all the lies she supposedly had said and leave a bad taste. In Christianity, the only reason you're going to heaven is that you do testify that you're a poor, miserable sinner deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. It's just the very opposite. Mm-hmm. Those who go to hell are those who don't get on the witness stand, like the Pharisees. I'm not that bad. Thank God I'm not like those guys. They don't confess their sin. Never thought of that, did you?
Well, I'll tell you what. If it were me, I'll tell you what. If I were being accused of such a crime,
yes,
and I knew that I was not guilty,
right,
in my heart of hearts,
right,
there is nothing that would keep me out of off that witness stand. There is nothing that would keep me off that witness stand. I would be compelled to let everybody know. I don't care if I was finally condemned. I would speak out to my innocence. That has always bothered me about these people that don't take the stand.
No. It's you.
Of course, I'm not a legal mind.
Well, what is it that says that a lawyer who's his own lawyer is a fool, you know, because you just don't think right. See, they don't really care what you think. A jury is supposed to be looking at evidence. So you can say all you want. If you don't have the evidence, if you don't have evidence, and if there is evidence, then your lawyer should have put it up. I doubt very much if I would testify at all. Why put yourself in a position where you can misstate something, or the prosecutor would come in? Because the spiritual realm, we do testify, yes,
right.
But in the temporal realm, boy, you don't want to hand over to them something. I mean, this is where a lot of trials make a mistake. Remember when they tried to put those gloves on O.J., the prosecutor? They regret that to this day.
Oh, I'm sure they do, yeah.
Yeah, if the glove don't...
This is the required monthly test of the emergency alert system. This station serves the Bi-State St. Louis operational area.
Now that the law has been passed in New York about gay marriage, if somebody comes to your congregation and they want to get married, two men, you...
No way. No way.
Okay,
not by me.
Okay, now the law says that that's a valid marriage. Okay, let's say Missouri did pass that. How would you get around it?
I guess I would retire.
Yeah, okay. I'm glad we're talking this way, because maybe there's some pastors listening and wondering about this. No, I would just refuse to do it, because right now I will refuse to do two members
that's
of
right.
the church
yes.
who are living together. Yeah, I'm not going to marry them.
I mean, as far as I understand, I don't think we are legally bound to marry just anybody.
It all depends, because you don't get married. You don't do the marrying as a pastor. You're doing the marrying as a servant of the state.
Right.
So I was told that in Michigan, for example, if somebody came to get married, you don't really have the right to say no, because you're a servant. Like, and no judge can say no to that. But
I don't think, though, that you're legally bound to marry just anybody. I think you can refuse on theological grounds.
Well, you didn't let me finish. in Michigan, you have to marry them, but you don't have to do it in the church.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that the way it is in Michigan?
Right.
You don't have to do it in the church.
You can do it anywhere you want. But if you're a servant of the state, somebody was running into some problems there, and he was refusing to do the marriage, and they were almost going to take away his right to marry.
Well, you and I would run into real problems if we were pastors up in Michigan, wouldn't we?
Well, no, I would take.
Would you just go ahead and do it?
Oh, absolutely, but
just
nobody,
not in the church.
Yeah, I'd go to the sewer plant. I can have it anywhere I want.
Is that right? You can do
yeah.
it wherever you want.
Oh, sure.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah. Or the middle of a swamp or something. Yeah, there's no law that tells you. Yeah.
That's the way you'd get around it.
That's the way I'd get around it.
That's a pretty good idea.
It's kind
of
like
a baker to think of those.
It's like that pastor, a well-known citizen of the county died, but he wasn't a member of the church. And so the congregation says, you must marry him. And the pastor said, no, bury him. And I said, no, I'm not going to bury him. You know, he wasn't a Christian. He didn't come to church.
Right,
no,
right.
We're paying you. You do that or we fire you. And so he went ahead and did the burial. And in the sermon he said, this is the kind of person you don't want to be. Because there's no way this person is not in hell right now. He was never asked again to
Oh, Tom Baker.
You just got to sit back and think about things.
You know? You think through these things really well. Nobody's going to pull anything over you.
Okay. Well, yes.
We better move on.
No, because you can say whatever you want in the sermon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is
yeah.
true. As long as it's in accord with God's word.
Well, it would be in accord with God's word. You don't want to be like this man who never entered the church walking in, but we brought him feet first, you know, after he died. And that's not what you would want. Although I have buried people who are not members of the church, because I was at a hospital once and I had a prayer for my member, and the fellow next door said, could you have prayer for me?
Oh, yeah.
And
if they profess Jesus Christ?
Yeah,
sure.
He died that night.
Yeah.
And they didn't have anybody to bury him, so I
well,
did.
Well, sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
So I want to be real careful
right.
here.
That's right.
As long as I have evidence that the person is a Christian. Now, some people say, oh, you should bury anybody because you've got a listening audience then. Yeah, but then it's not a Christian
That's
burial.
That's right.
Yeah.
It'd be like giving everybody a military funeral. That wouldn't be right.
Well, you can't even say the word Jesus there now. Did you hear that?
No.
Yeah, at one of the, what's the big one in Washington?
Arlington?
I think it is. The lady in charge says you're no longer allowed to use the word Jesus in your prayers.
At Arlington?
Yes. Yeah, it's at one of the big ones. It couldn't maybe not be Arlington, but it's one of, it's all over the news.
Well, I got to look into that.
No, I tell you. Yeah. And I would start, and if she told me that, I'd start off, Dear Jesus,
yes.
We love you, Jesus. We're here because of you, Jesus. I choose it every sentence and then see what they're going to do. I tell you, you got to watch the government. You know, you just got to watch the government and be careful here. But when we get back, we will go to wise men. But there's another reason I want to tie this in about the wise men is because... I think I've told you I've opened a store up.
Yes.
Where I'm selling things
yes.
now. And so we're going to tell you a couple of opportunities I had where people were walking in and they walked out with something they didn't expect.
You witnessed to them.
We'll talk about that
okay.
when we get back
All right.
from the break. I'm Tom Baker and Pastor Mark Smith. We are moving towards the wise men. If you want to phone us, St. Louis, 505-7850, toll free,
1-800-730-2727.
And please stay with us through the break.
Coming up on the Bible Study Replay tonight at 6:05. As we conclude the first chapter of the first letter to Timothy, we're still seeking out an understanding of just what is false teaching. When is a little bit of heresy too much, and when does it completely tip the scale to the point that you have to turn someone over to Satan? You can hear that again tonight at 6:05.
Exclusively underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, on KFUO Radio.
How would you like to take the gospel global? You can do that by promoting and supporting KFUO Radio. If you'd like to donate to partner with this ministry, you can do it by going to kfuo.org and clicking the Give Now button. It's very simple from that point forward. You can do it all online. Our ministry presence is on the internet. It's local. It is global. We're taking the gospel around the world, and you can be an active partner with us. That's kfuo.org and click the Give Now button to support the ministry of KFUO Radio.
I see a great need in my community.
So Richard Washington set out to meet that need by working with youth in the juvenile justice system, joining thousands of other volunteers. If you're 55 and older, you can use the skills to help you through a lifetime of learning, giving, teaching, and working. Go to getinvolved.gov or call 1-800-424-8867. To find out how you can volunteer, impact your community, and make our country stronger.
Retired people have a lot to offer because we have life experience.
What are you going to do with your lifetime of experience? Go to getinvolved.gov today or call 1-800-424-8867. We have so much to offer, and our nation needs us. Make a difference for generations.
Hey, there's my son.
Hey, Dad.
What's wrong with your voice?
There is nothing wrong with my voice.
Well, it's just sort of...
Hello, Dad.
Susan? Guys, I think it's about time to get in the car and maybe see some green things.
What are these green things you speak of?
This weekend, unplug. Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. To find the forest nearest you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You may be someone who enjoys creative writing, written storytelling, and poetry. But as a person of faith, how can you weave your faith into the creative writing process? How is religion expressed in creative writing? These and other questions, presentations, discussions, and creative exercises may be found at Concordia Seminary's Faith and Creative Writing Workshop offered Monday through Wednesday, July 25th through 27th, 9 till 5. Registration is required and there is a fee. The email address ce@csl.edu can be helpful. Registration deadline is July 11th.
Tom Baker back here with Mark Smith. We had talked about the Casey Anthony not guilty verdict and tried to show that how different Judgment Day is going to be like, because you will be guilty, but you're going to be free from punishment, right?
There is now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus.
Isn't that something? No matter how guilty you are, how sinful you are.
If you believe in Jesus Christ,
yes,
you will be saved.
So I have this store. It's in the city of Overland here in St. Louis. I'm open primarily Saturday mornings, but I had a lot of work to do yesterday, so I brought my work over to the store, and I was there from 9 till like 7 at night. And I have an open sign, and I sell primarily Concordia Mission Society books, a lot of religious books, used books, furniture, clothing, trinkets, all kinds of stuff, tools. Whatever I'm trying to get rid of to clean out our house. In fact, on the way home on Saturday, I went by a rummage sale, and I was like going to the rummage sales during the last half hour. And I said, I'll take all those animals there for $6. You know? And they gave them to me for $6. And so now if I sell them, I get $60. But boy, they were some. One was even a talking bear, you know, so... It's good to go to rummage sales during the last half hour because people really don't want to cart all that back in their house and such like that. But at any rate, it's been really interesting. I had one lady come, and I'm not kidding. She is, it's a Roman Catholic, St. Sophia Nursing Home. Have you heard of that?
No.
Okay, she's the administrator there, and they have Lutherans there, and they have no Lutheran pastor.
Hmm.
And so either I'll be helping out or I'm going to get a hold of our people there. And she was so thankful. She's bringing dresses to me to sell, because the money goes to Concordia Mission Society, you know, for things. One guy walked in, he's going to bring me an encyclopedia set. But one lady came in, and she looked at everything. She says, the only thing I want is this table. And unfortunately, it was a table we weren't selling. I had brought it in to put stuff on. So she was sad about that at any rate. But she's just been in town about 6 months, living with her mother and trying to find a church. And Our Redeemer Overland is right there, so I told him about that. And she said, yeah, you're a pastor, and she wanted to know when the radio program is on. So if you're listening, welcome to you, because she said she would try. And then I asked her, well, we were talking about religion. She said, yes, I'm doing all I can, you know, to get right with God.
Right, sure.
And I looked at her. Remember, I say, they may not buy anything or leave with anything, but they're going to leave with something they didn't expect.
That's
and
right.
I said, well, why waste your time?
Oh, boy.
And of course, she was, what do you mean,
what
why
you
waste
mean,
your time?
Huh?
Yeah. And the point I was making is there's nothing you can do to get right with God. She thought I knew her life or something. You know, oh, you pastors think you're so holy, but us guys.
I'll bet you could see the demeanor in her face.
Well, she was just
completely changed.
Totally puzzled.
Yeah, I bet so.
And then I just hit it with her, because see, the law had done its work, and she was totally flabbergasted, because she's been trying so hard to get right with God. And I said, you know, you do believe Jesus? Yes. Do you believe he died on the cross? Yes. Did you believe he died to forgive your sins?
You.
Yes. And she's, and then I said, well, that's why you don't have to do anything. He already did it all.
It is finished.
It is finished. That's right. And then I gave her the zinger that always gets their eyes open. You know, there's nothing you do, say, or think here on earth that makes any difference as to whether you go to heaven or hell. She looked at me. And in fact, I'm going to talk about that tomorrow, because the analogy God uses is adoption.
Right.
And that's
a
in
baptism.
The sermon. Yeah.
Sure.
So there's nothing the baby does, say, or think that makes any difference.
He's brought in a little heathen, and he's carried away from the font, a child
saint.
Of God and heir of heaven.
Yeah, a saint.
Yeah.
So it was really a very interesting, and I'm having more and more conversations like that. In fact, I wear my KFUO shirt, you know, so people know. And now I've got little brochures that I hand out saying what the station is on and all this sort of thing. I didn't tell them about you, though, you know, because I want them to be surprised. Oh, you got somebody better than you on.
Okay, Tom.
But what I'm seeing the store as is, what an opportunity for witnessing.
Yes, I imagine so. You get all sorts of people walking in there.
Yeah, and if you're not afraid, and I'm not, obviously, I'm a pastor, and they see all these religious books. Well, what do? I publish. One lady writes books. She's had two published, and I'm going to probably publish hers. It's not a religious book. It's science fiction. But I said, well, we'll publish anything. I'll give you 10 copies for $50. You know, so we do that at the store also. And then she can send it around to her publishers, and then they can make a decision which one will actually do it. But I don't publish science fiction stuff. It's just pretty well. Although most people would think Christianity is science fiction. Like Herod did when the wise men came to him. And did you see how sly he was?
Oh, yes.
What did he say?
Oh, he said, well, you tell me where you find the Christ child, because I want to go and worship him too.
Yes.
Yeah, or a sly fox.
No, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
So we have to think of an angle. We're always looking for an angle for all these Sunday school lessons, because we don't believe that just telling the story is sufficient. Even if you talk
well,
about...
especially when you've got the story of the slaughter of the innocents.
Yeah.
You've got to bring Christ to bear on that.
That's absolutely correct. And here's the slant that I like to put on this one is, did you realize how many times God intervenes in this one little story of the wise men? For those of you at home, it's in Matthew chapter 2.
Matthew
for those
chapter
of you
two.
Driving, forget
well, he,
it. We'll just
he,
talk
he
to you.
He intervened already in the Old Testament.
Well,
he
no, I mean right from the start. I mean just with the story of the wise
men. With a promise. The promise, you know, all the way back to Genesis 3:15. I mean, God intervened by getting Israel taken captive in Babylon. That's how the word about the star and...
I mean, just in Matthew 2.
Just in Matthew 2? How many times he intervened?
Yes.
Intervened? Oh.
I mean, he's all the way through the scripture. The first thing is, he sent a star.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So that was the first item. So, then he sent them to Bethlehem, and then the star again appeared before them until it stood over where the Christ child was. So that's the second time God intervened. And then they, of course, gave him the gifts. But then in verse 12, then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. So that's the third time God intervened. And then the fourth time was, of course, the angel to Joseph.
Yes, he told Joseph, take your wife and the child and flee.
Yes. And then, of course, the prophecy of Jeremiah was fulfilled with the death of the little ones. But then God intervened again and Herod died.
By killing Herod.
Yes. Then he intervened again.
By calling his son out of Egypt.
That's right.
Yes.
Very good.
Out of Egypt.
To Joseph.
Yes.
And I had forgotten the last intervention. Let me read verse 22. When Joseph heard that Archelaus, or...
His son.
Yes.
Herod's son was on the throne, he thought, well, I don't want to be around here either.
There.
So he went to Nazareth.
No. And being warned by God in a dream. He came to him again in a dream. And he turned aside into the region of Galilee and dwelt in a city called Nazareth. Those are seven interventions.
At least seven that we know about.
Oh, yes, yes. Now, this says something about our God, which I find very interesting.
Well, it was a crucial event.
Yes, yes.
His son had come to earth.
Yeah, yeah.
He did not want anything to get in the way of his earthly mission.
Well, then why didn't he have the star go right to the Bethlehem stable and have Herod die 2 days before?
Well, for
then all
thing,
of this
all, the,
have
all
the
scripture had to be fulfilled for one thing.
Yes.
Out of Egypt, I've called my son. That had to be fulfilled.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good answer. That then I'll go back one more. Why did God make those promises if he knew that all this?
Well,
no, this is a really important point.
Okay.
Is that God intervenes, but it doesn't mean he's not in control.
Oh, he's always complete control.
Yes.
Always. Even when seemingly terrible events occur.
Yes. That's a really
still
good point.
In complete control.
Yes.
And it ultimately must work out for our good.
Because that's his promise
that's
in Romans
exactly
8,
right.
verse
Romans 8, 28.
28.
Right.
But I got thinking about that. That is a really good lesson to tell children. And what I would do is this. I would have them do an exercise. And the first thing I would have them do is just write down in a little paragraph, maybe eight statements, what were the things you did yesterday, let's say Saturday. And maybe because of the fireworks, they went to see fireworks or something like that, because there were fireworks all during the weekend. We got up, we ate breakfast, we went some shopping, we drove there, then we had fireworks at night, and then...
had a barbecue.
A barbecue, and we went to bed. Okay. After they were done that, I would say, okay, let's go back over each one and see where God intervened. Now, at first glance, they're not going to be able to see anything because they just think that was a regular day. But I would say, do you know how many people, when they buy sometimes food from the store, they get sick from it? And you had breakfast and nothing happened. The devil wanted to make that sickly for you, and God wouldn't allow it. Then when you got in a car, you know how many people had an accident that day? And you didn't. And anyway, I'd go through the whole day. And the firecrackers, you know, there are times when one gets misled or something, right, misdirected, and it goes into the crowd or something, and everything was safe and you came home. Here's my goal. For Sunday school children, we need to provide them with eyes of faith so they start looking at things through the prism of God.
Yeah, God's providence and protection.
Well said. Yeah, that's really good. And God could have done everything differently. You know, he could have protected you by just giving you a little stomach ache in the morning so you had to stay in bed all day. And none of those other things he wouldn't have had to worry about. But he didn't. He allowed you to live.
And enjoy the festivities of the 4th of July.
And did so in safety. Now, then there's bound to be some kid, and usually his name would be Tom, who said, well, on the way to the fireworks, somebody hit us in the car from the back. Then you'd have to...
Was God sleeping at the switch?
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
He wasn't.
Yeah. But you know, how many times has my retinue and schedule been interrupted? And then I find out, had I not been interrupted, something worse might
have
happened.
That's right.
Yeah,
I never will forget, driving back to Michigan.
Really?
To visit my mother and sisters.
Yeah.
If I'd have been maybe 5 seconds sooner in my car, I would have hit a deer.
Really?
I mean, it was that close.
No.
You know, you think about things like that.
It's kind of interesting how many big traffic jams we've missed. Either because I've had the radio on listening, there's a traffic, and then you just get off just before it or something. Because you can get in one of those where you're sitting there for 3-4 hours while they clean up, you know, what's up ahead. In other words, the wise men, they weren't that wise. They went to the wrong place, you know. And then God directed them, and he kept interfering. But he didn't do it in a way that he did anything particularly like getting rid of Herod. I've often thought, boy, he just could have got rid of those people, and then, you know, none of these things would have happened. But you made a good point that a lot of this is found in the Scriptures to be fulfilled. Phone numbers are 505-7850 or long distance.
1-800-730-2727.
Let's go speak with Rick. Hi, Rick.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Couple of quick comments. One, the first half hour of the show, you can get by with anything, but you're not going to get away with it.
Yeah, you can get by with anything, but you're not going to get away, yes.
No, there'll be a day. And what you're talking about now is with the wise men in God's providence, where he doesn't rule, he will overrule.
He will what?
He will overrule, I think is what he said.
Yes, he will overrule.
Yes. He certainly did that with Jesus in the manger.
God's passive will and God's permissive will, but you're still talking about God's will.
Yep.
Amen.
Thank you very much for calling. Yeah, good day. You know that difference between his passive and permissive will?
Let's see.
Or his active and permissive or passive will. Which one did he say?
He was talking about his passive and permissive will.
Yeah. Sometimes God actively does something, like the star. There would have been no star. But then when he gave the advice to Joseph to go to Egypt, Joseph could have said no, but he didn't. He was kind of like Moses going back to Egypt, and then he was called out of Egypt. So when we talk about his permissive will, this is where what we would call sin comes in.
Yeah, God permits, you know, I mean, he does permit sin to happen.
Yes.
That's his permissive will.
And he has an active way in doing things. Getting back to the court case with Casey Anthony, I believe both in this one and the O.J. Simpson, the prosecution failed because there was a rush to judgment. Now, they're really going to be blamed by people, you know. But they only had so much evidence. But frankly, there was a lot more evidence that they did not use. For example, they could have taken bone fragments, and according to one forensic pathologist, you can tell whether they drowned in real water or a swimming pool water.
Yes, I remember hearing that. Right.
Oh, yeah, there were all kinds of things. They didn't even do them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you really got to be knowledgeable when you're a prosecutor, or you really have to rely on people who've got tremendous insight.
Detective work has to be very good, too.
Yeah. Or if they mess something up. Part of the O.J. was the one detective said he had never said those, you know, words.
Right.
And then they found him saying it. And that always bugged me because that was in a play he was doing, you know. but be that as it may, the fact of the matter is that both sides do have the opportunity. I didn't see the end of the trial. Who had the last word, the defense attorney or the prosecuting attorney? Who gave their statement last in Florida?
I can't recall. I don't know.
I always think it's fair that the defense attorney should. Yeah.
I'd be inclined to agree.
Yeah. You should get every opportunity for the person, because we do know from DNA that a lot of people are in jail who shouldn't be, you know, because they didn't have DNA in those days. It's really easy to get incarcerated when you're innocent. I mean, they're showing a lot of examples. So, a prosecution, would you rather be a prosecutor or a defense attorney?
I think I'd rather be a prosecutor.
Yeah, I'd rather be.
I was telling my wife today as we were talking about this.
Yeah.
I would, you know, how would you like to defend somebody that you really had doubts about their innocence? I would not care to do that.
I know
they're deserving of defense, but
right.
I would not want to be the one that have to defend a scoundrel.
But how would you like to be a prosecutor accusing somebody without having really the evidence? And you're trying to maybe do it another way, like make everybody mad at her and show pictures of her in nightclubs and things like that, which has nothing to do with the death of the baby. See, I think there's... I would much rather be a defense attorney. I'm pretty good at arguing against people once I hear what their point of view is. But we have a defense attorney. Who is who?
We have an advocate.
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, one of the translate advocate as defense attorney.
Our advocate and defender, right.
Yeah. Jesus says, I'll send you another helper. But that advocate is an interesting one. He's not defending your behavior. See, this is another thing where Christianity gets... In fact,
He's interposing his precious blood in our behalf is what he's doing. He's taking the rap for us.
Yeah. He's our advocate. He's our substitute. He's not arguing that we don't deserve eternal death. He's arguing that he paid the price for all who trust in him.
He has the authority to do that because his blood has infinite value. He's sinless. Not just anyone could take our place.
And even if another man was able to be sinless, which is impossible since conception is included there for regular human beings, but he'd only be able to die for one other person.
That's right.
So he had to be God also, so that his merit covered the whole world. When we're looking, therefore, at Christianity, it is just so utterly different than a regular courtroom, because... You are going to be judged. Now, I have a little problem with saying not guilty, because you are guilty. That's why I like the word forgiven better.
You're not condemned.
You're not going to have to pay the price. That's the message of Christianity. But if you don't understand the distinctions, as so many people don't, between Christianity and every other religion, and I'm going to be talking about that this week, in the Post-Dispatch, there was a review of a book by a Buddhist about showing the wonderful similarities.
I saw that. Oh, wasn't that a bunch of malarkey, whatever you want to call it. I couldn't believe. We both remarked about it. My wife showed that to me. I thought, oh man, it's terrible.
Because for
just what you're talking about. Yeah, the was in Sunday paper, wasn't it?
Right, and he was trying to make the point that the similarity between Buddhism and Christianity is you have this mindset.
Yeah, yeah.
And
completely
Jesus
missed
really
the point.
Oh no,
the world does not get it.
Buddha did not die for my sins.
Exactly.
He and did not rise from the
and
dead.
His grave is not empty. That is right.
Yeah, his grave is filled. Yes. But you see, I don't know if I did it at your church. I don't think I had the poster with me. But I have a poster, and it's a great big circle, and on the outside of the circle is every religion in the world, the main ones. There's about 16 of them. And in the center, it's the golden rule. Mm-hmm. And what they do, they quote that religion's
yes.
point of view, the golden
yes.
rule. And, of course, Christianity, love your neighbor yes. as yourself.
And so they think that's it.
They think that's the essence
that is
of
the
religion.
Essence of religion.
Yes.
Including Christianity.
Yes.
And they're wrong. You're right. The courtroom illustration
yeah.
really sets the distinct clarity
yes.
between Christianity and all of the religions. It completely confounds the person that thinks that, well, that person deserved to get off, or that person deserved to get condemned. I mean, Christianity completely confounds all that. We're saved by grace, even though we're condemned, miserable sinners,
right.
deserving of hell, apart from Christ.
There was a microcosm I'm watching as Casey Anthony, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty. And how many people were just so angry because she wasn't getting what they thought she deserved. And I'm thinking about Judgment Day. You know who that group of people is going to be? Is everybody in hell. They're going to be so angry that God let us off when we shouldn't have. And they're going to be even more mad at God because of that. I really kind of enjoy when the talking heads don't get it, because the more authoritarian they sound, the bigger the fall. And now they're trying to cover themselves. Now they're going to start blaming the jury.
Well, Tom, don't you think we need to be clear on the fact that, you know, a lot of people are going to be out there thinking, well, Tom and Mark, they think that everybody ought to get off. You know, everybody ought to be, because of Jesus dying for our sins, we ought to all be exonerated. And that we don't feel that way. There is a place, that's a left-hand kingdom, there is
right.
a place for law and order, there is a place for
evidence.
For evidence.
If
and,
you've got the evidence that somebody is guilty, he should be declared guilty.
Absolutely.
And we don't have a problem with the capital punishment.
No.
Under circumstances. But when you're trying to make somebody guilty because you're trying to make them look bad or this kind of thing and don't have the facts.
Right.
I was going to say Dracula, but it was Dragnet. Let the facts and just
oh, yeah.
the facts.
Just the facts, madam. Just
yeah,
the facts.
Remember that?
Yes,
yeah.
I remember that.
That's really good. And that's what's happened. And on Judgment Day, the facts will be that you don't deserve to go, and then your advocate's going to stand in front of you, and you're going to heaven. All because of Jesus. It's just totally different than the way we think of a courtroom today. Yeah. So, we'll see you next week.
I hope so, God willing.
And your services this Sunday?
9 o'clock. I'm sorry. Yeah, 9 o'clock Sunday morning. 9 o'clock Sunday morning is
Boy,
the Sunday service, and then 5 o'clock Saturday. If you can't come Sunday, 5 o'clock Saturday.
God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel weekdays at 3 p.m. on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.